Hello and welcome to another edition of the End Zone Podcast. My name is Eric Jensen, and if this sounds different, I apologize. I'm recording in my living room, so might be a little bit of a different sound today, but hopefully it still sounds good. I'm joined today by old friend, Chris Castain. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, doing good. How are you?
Chris, thanks for coming on a little bit last second. We were going to have this show will come out Friday. Saturday, we were going to have our AFC West preview, but I have a really great guest for that, but they can't make it until Monday. So keep an eye on that, out for that on Monday, folks. And then on Wednesday, we will have our final kind of big preview show of the whole year where I'll make my playoff predictions and things like that with Usaid Koshal and Matthew Pierce. So that should be a fun podcast, so keep yours attuned for that. Chris, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. Just been kind of waiting. How are you?
You know, I'm well. College football starts up tonight. Utah plays Weber State, so I'm excited for that. Unfortunately, I'm going to miss a little bit of a game because I have to work, but I'm looking forward to seeing what Utah does. They usually, these games, for Utah at least, Utah kind of underperforms a little bit. I hope that's not the case here, but I don't think it'll be a blowout, but it won't be too big of a blowout, if that makes sense. I think it'll probably be like 30-17 or something, but they'll win, and I'll say, well, they should have won by more. So, it might be an interesting game. Are you going to watch tonight?
I don't know if I'll watch that game. Depends on what time I get back. But I'm going to try to watch some of the games. I'm just excited. College football is finally back. NFL's back next week. Just exciting times.
Yeah, just it is a fantastic time of year to be alive. You are a football fan. You know, it was also a great day to be alive yesterday if you were Aaron Rodgers, because the man got paid, I believe it was, what, $33.5 million a year. By the end of the year, he's going to be paid $86 million. The contract
is $102 million
of guarantees in it. The highest paid quarterback in the league, highest paid player in the league now. So, I mean, everything's as it should be. I think everyone kind of saw this coming.
Yeah, I would agree with you there. That's exactly pretty much what I was thinking right when you said that. Everybody saw it coming. He deserves it. He's the best quarterback in the NFL. Tom Brady, right there, but he's getting older. He's not going to get paid as much. I understand why he got paid, and he deserved every penny he got.
Yeah, it was a really nice payday for Aaron Rodgers. But the more interesting thing I think that happened was Teddy Bridgewater traded to the New Orleans Saints for a third-round pick. I like this move for both teams, actually. New Orleans kind of gets a nice backup. They're obviously all in this year. It's kind of Super Bowl or bust for them, I think. And the Jets get a third-round pick for basically $10 million. So, I don't know. I thought the trade was good for both sides.
Yeah, I thought it was – I would agree with you there as well. The Saints get a backup quarterback that's going to be that's a good quarterback. He's proven that. He's kind of back to what Teddy was and as a Viking. And I think – for a third-round draft pick, that's pretty good, I think, considering. And for the Jets, they traded him. They don't really believe they need him. Their belief in Sam Darnold, and I don't know if maybe they should have kept him for a backup, but I think this was all around a good, solid trade.
So, obviously, Sam Darnold starts in week one. What kind of a year do you think he's going to have?
I think he's going to have a it's just, he's a Jet. It's hard to buy into the Jets, and it's not really, I guess if I have to put my bias from Jets away here. I think he's going to have a decent year. I think it's going to be more like an average rookie quarterback year. He's not going to be Dak Prescott. He's going to be I think he'll be a middle-tier quarterback, but he's not going to be bad. I don't think he'll be bad.
Right. Yeah. I don't think he'll be bad either. I don't think he's in the conversation to even be considered awful. Although, what I do think a lot of people, maybe including myself, have forgotten is that outside of Sam Darnold, the Jets are not a good team. They lack wide receiver depth outside of Quincy Enunwa and I'm forgetting his name. Kelly? Robbie Anderson. Pardon me. They lack depth outside of there. Bilal Powell's a decent running back, but is definitely not an all-star running back by any means. And then their offensive line is a mess. They didn't really improve it at all in the offseason, and they don't have any veteran leadership on the line. The defense is okay, but overall, I think maybe some people are kind of Sports Illustrated, their NFL preview, and I'm trying to get away from prediction shaming, because in the end, no one really knows anything about the NFL.
Absolutely,
But they said the Jets would be a wild card team, and like, I don't know. That's just kind of hard for me to see. I don't think there's any way that happens.
I think, well, and we'll get into this in a little bit. I think you'll be surprised who I have the two wild card teams as, but it's not the Jets. I don't think the Jets are there yet. I think they're a 5-6 win team still. I don't think I actually think they would have been a little better this year not trading Teddy Bridgewater. But I think all in all, that doesn't mean I think it was a bad trade. I just think that they would probably win 7 or 8 games with Teddy, as to I think they're 5 games with Sam Darnold.
Yeah, I have them a little bit lower. Keep an eye out for my I'm going to put out my NFL predictions tomorrow or today on ProSportsFandom.com. We're recording this Thursday. This will go out on Friday. A little bit of news that I don't think we want to have too much discussion on, but Gronk's deal got kind of reworked. We're going to pay him a little bit more, so in the end, all the New England Patriots drama this offseason kind of ended up being nothing, and I think it's kind of distracted from like the real weaknesses on this team, which are the offensive line now, as Isaiah Wynn is out, and the wide receiving core. And I don't know, Chris, like, I wanted to ask you this, because I was doing my season previews, and the New England Patriots are in no way, shape, or form in danger of losing the division. The division is a down division in a down year. But I think there's a way that the Patriots win the division and still end up going maybe 8-8, because they don't have any wide receivers, and the recipe to beat Tom Brady we have seen is to lock down wide receivers and then hit him with a pass rush. And this team plays Minnesota, Houston, Chicago, and I believe, I'm forgetting who the fourth team was, but as I pull that up, some teams with very good pass rushes and defenses, and I don't know. I think they could be, I have them at 9-7, honestly. Do you think that's kind of crazy?
No, I don't, with the talent on the offense. You got to trust Tom Brady, but the offense is going to take a step back. He's not going to have a game like he did when he played the Philadelphia Eagles. I don't think that's going to happen. Their talent is way down since then. He's pretty much lost all his wide receivers since then, at least for a few games. It's hard to say. In a way, I think they'll find a way to win 11 games, but it's definitely not unrealistic to say they win 9 games. I still think they win the division by 2 or 3 games.
I don't think they're in any danger of, pardon me, of losing the division. Like, I want to make that perfectly clear. I don't think any team in this division even has a shot at catching the Patriots.
Yeah, I don't either. I really don't. I think if it's any team, I think the Dolphins, maybe they come close. Maybe they win 7 games, but the other 3 teams in this division are not going to have a winning record, and that's what really matters. Or at least that's what I believe.
This wasn't on the script, but you bringing up the Dolphins has me thinking of something I want to approach after we get through this next segment, which is I was listening to some of our old shows, and we decided earlier in March you called me a fake fan, which I guess is fair, because of all the teams I rooted for last year. And every year I think I root for some different teams, so I kind of wanted to go through and be thinking of this while we talk about these teams up that we're going to talk about next, about 3 teams that you will be rooting for that aren't your team in 2019.
Oh, wow.
Just be thinking of that.
Okay.
Throughout the episode.
I think I have 2 teams at least.
Okay. Well, we'll get to them. Maybe think of a 3rd one. But here are some teams that I wanted to do this segment. Teams we haven't really talked about on this podcast. We covered a lot of teams in July. Like, I'm amazed at how many we got through. I think it was something like 27, but there were a few that we didn't get to, and I want to talk about 3 of them right now. And let's start with the Oakland Raiders. Chris, what are kind of some of your thoughts on the Raiders?
I'm in a way worried about the Raiders. It's hard. The Raiders, that team's the hardest out of all the 3 teams that we're going to talk about. The Raiders are going to be the hardest to predict. I think they have a chance to win. I think they have a chance to go to the playoffs and make it even to the conference championship. But at the same time, I'm kind of scared of John Gruden in a way, just because of his old school coaching. That's really what it comes down to me. 2 things: that and their defense. Their defense, I expected it to be terrible again. They're not even taking care of Khalil Mack, which is just a horrible story that I can't even fathom why they're not. But they're not taking care of him, and I just see the defense being bad again. So this is just a good word to some, or a good sentence to sum this team up, is I don't know. You know, you have those 1 or 2 teams every year that you just don't know what they're going to do. This is probably one of the biggest I don't knows in probably 5 years. It really is.
I think a lot of people would agree with you. My view on the Raiders is drastically flipped in about the past 2 weeks, kind of what they've done in the preseason. Because, honestly, like, as much as I didn't like them hiring John Gruden and firing Jack Del Rio, I think it could work because Gruden's system is old-fashioned. He runs the ball a lot. It's a possession-based offense. They have Marshawn Lynch has looked excellent this preseason, and he was good last year. Then Doug Martin, he's found a way to maximize Doug Martin this preseason. And then they have these guys like Jalen Richard as depth. The running back depth in Oakland, if you look at it, is insane with how many guys have kind of emerged. And I think if they can be like a run first possession team, it can hide that defense, which has found some good pass rushers. Maurice Hurst, one of them, has kind of really broken out in the preseason. And while the secondary is still bad and the linebacking core is meh, the defensive line isn't going to be as awful as people are thinking it is, even if they don't have Mac, because they found 3 young guys that have really stepped up in the preseason. And I know it's for preseason, but I take a lot away from defensive line play in the preseason, and I think the Raiders have looked really good at it. Their defense has been okay in this preseason, so I think that might transfer over a little bit into the regular season. I'm a lot less worried about them. And then on the other side,
they're going to be a bottom 10 defense.
I mean, you have Derek Carr. I think people forget that, like, he's only, like, one season removed from being an MVP quarterback. Like, and he was hurt all last year. I think a healthy Derek Carr is going to make all the difference. I realize the offensive weapons aren't super plentiful in Oakland, but you added Martavis Bryant. Amari Cooper, I think he can bounce back, and when he's performing well, he's one of the best wide receivers in the league. They still have a great offensive line. I don't know. I think the Raiders, if things go right, and I think they might, could do some damage. So I've really flipped on the Raiders. I like them a lot. All right.
Well,
I want to know
let me just say this real quick.
Okay.
But the Raiders, and that's really why I said I think they could end up being in the conference championship this season, just because they have players that have, on the offense in particular, that have been successful in this league. Or you look at Amari Cooper, you look at Derek Carr, they've been successful. It's just a toss-up for me.
Yeah, I think it's a toss-up for a lot of people, but kind of as we're running down to the time of year when people put out predictions and stuff, I'm leaning on the Raiders right now, and I won't lie, I think that tomorrow when I put out like my predictions, I think a lot of people are gonna disagree. I have some pretty wild takes, but I've just got some really good gut feelings mixed with some roster views to back it up. That I think there are going to be a lot of different teams in the playoffs. And I just see these people who come out and they say, oh, yeah, the same teams are going to be in the playoffs. Like, very rarely do more than six teams make it to the playoffs consecutive years. So I think there's going to be a lot more playoff turnover this year than people think. But
I would say
we'll get to that in a little bit, I guess.
Well, I would just say real quick that I think in the AFC that's more likely than the NFC. I mean, you have a few teams in the NFC, but I think you'll be surprised by who I have in the playoffs on the AFC side.
Yeah, so let's move on to the, and let's just let's get to it right now. The Kansas City Chiefs. What are your thoughts on them?
You left the three teams you didn't talk about are the teams that are really toss-ups, but the Chiefs are a little less. I have a little more confidence in the Chiefs, but I don't have as much confidence in Patrick Mahomes. I don't understand where people are thinking that he's going to be good. But at the same time, I think a lot of people are keeping that five-interception game in their head. I really do, and I think they need to just calm down on that and kind of just put it to the side.
He's never had a five-interception game.
He had a four. Didn't he have a four-interception game? Yeah.
That's Nathan Peterman.
Oh, well, I'm thinking of the wrong person at this point. I'm actually looking at my phone.
Patrick Mahomes was a guy who threw that 69-yard bomb against your Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, I know that. I just was thinking of the wrong quarterback, wrong team. But I think they still have a good defense. They have a good veteran defense. I would say veteran. It's not as veteran as it was, but it's still, I think they have some veteran talent on there. They'll be a good team. I think they'll be a good team. They're not going to, I don't think they're, I'm not going to put them in the playoffs or nothing, but they're a surface, they're around 8-1 team, I think.
I think you're right on the fact that it's a toss-up, but I don't know. I have a really negative view of the Kansas City Chiefs. I think they're due for, a down year, and their defense is worse than the Raiders, honestly. Like
I don't know. I think
Eric Berry isn't healthy yet. They lost all their pass rushers, like. On that defense, name one player on that defense.
Well, that's going to be hard, but
They lost Marcus Peters as their cornerback. Like,
I still don't think it's going to be a bad defense. I think it's going to be slightly better than Raiders.
I think the Raiders have a better defense than the Chiefs. I really do. And
but I don't think I don't know if it's a good defense. Maybe I think I over exaggerated that. But I don't think it's going to be a bad defense either. I think it's just going to be a probably.
Here's the thing. I think the Chiefs are going to have to put up 30 points a game to win games. Like
I don't know if it's that bad. I don't know.
I mean. And you could definitely see that with an Andy Reid offense if Patrick Mahomes goes off and Kareem Hunt goes off. But, like, this is a very boom or bust team. Like, I have them right now as, like, a 6-win team. I think they're due for a down year. I think they're going to be good again next year. But I just think this year they moved away from their quarterback. It's going to take a little while for this offense to gel. The defense isn't awesome. I don't know. The other thing with this team is, like, there are two or three teams. Well, honestly, only two, the Raiders and the Chiefs, the Bears, that I will have no concrete opinion on until I see, like, 3 weeks of the season.
Oh, yeah.
Because I just can't tell anything from this roster. I don't know. I just feel like they're due for a down year.
I will say that I cannot give a 100% opinion on the Chiefs. I cannot. I think I agree with you. I don't even know if it'll be 3 weeks because I think they could be an inconsistent team. They could be a team that's going to play very great 3 games, and then I think this team could fall off for a while. I just don't think. I don't think they're consistent enough to have a win or. To be a winning team, like to have a winning record, you know what I mean? I just don't think they'll be consistent enough. They'll have a great game here and there, but they won't make no playoffs, and they won't have a record.
All right, the next team, the Baltimore Ravens.
Oh gosh, this one, yeah, I can't believe you didn't talk about these three teams actually on the podcast. I really can't during the month of July, but of course the Ravens defense is better than the Raiders and Chiefs. It's almost, this feels like we're talking about just the AFC West, to be honest. I think the Ravens will have, like I said, I think they'll have a good defense. I'm kind of losing my thought for a second there. But anyway, yeah, good defense. I don't think I'm scared of Joe Flacco. We don't know what Joe Flacco we're gonna see. I expect to see the same Joe Flacco as we see every year. The only difference is that he does have to watch out for Lamar Jackson. I don't think he's played well enough to get that starting job, but maybe that's gonna maybe get him some energy and get him where he's playing well into the season. I just don't think so. I'm interested to see what you think of the Ravens because I really don't know. I'm more confident in defense than I am the offense, but.
Oh, I love it when we disagree. Brings back good old memories. I think you're truly underrating this Ravens offense. They went out this.
Am I underrating Joe Flacco? Because that's who I'm really talking about.
So here's Joe Flacco, okay? Last year was awful. But he had a back injury last year. Like, he played the whole season with a back injury. He was a statue in the pocket, and he couldn't throw the ball. This preseason, he has his pocket movement. And I get you can say it's a preseason, but I do think you can evaluate quarterbacks' pocket movement in the preseason. Would you agree?
Yeah.
His movement this preseason has been awesome. You can tell that he was hurt last year. He's got that deep ball back. I don't know. I just feel like Joe Flacco is a good quarterback. Like, he is, by the end of the year, he's going to be back in that top 15 borderline top 10 discussion that he's always in. And
always?
I don't know. They went out, and they also, last year he didn't have any receivers. They went out, they got him Michael Crabtree, they got him Josh Brown. They went out, they drafted Hayden Hurst.
He's going to be injured for a little while, but they have some good depth at tight end. They've still got an awesome offensive line. Kenneth Dixon might be a better running back than Alex Collins, and Alex Collins is great. I don't know. I really like this Ravens team. Like, they might not be the best team in the league, but they are really, really good.
Well, and you're talking about Joe Flacco. I would like to say that his 2016, and I'm going based off stats right now just because, but stats-wise, his 2016 and 2017 season were very similar. Like, as far as completion percentage, it's both 64%, which is the best of his career in the as far as his regular season, goes. But it's very similar. Now, passing yards, that's I don't go by passing yards.
Why? Okay. Let me just say how ridiculous it is that you value completion percentage.
I'm going by the over what the big difference is between 2016 and 2017. I'm not saying that that's what I'm really going by. I just said that's the one thing I have to go by right now to say that he had a similar season in 2016 and 2017. I'm not saying that that means he's going to have a similar season. I'm just saying that that's why I really don't know.
Okay. Well, I don't know. I think that completion percentage is an awful stat to look at. I think you should look at his passing yardage stats and see how much better they were the year before the year that he was injured.
I mean, it's almost he has 1,200 yards more in 2016 than he did in 2017. Or close. It's like between 100 and 200. 1,100 and 1,200. But the reason I say don't go by that so much is just because some of it's yards after catch. It's just a lot of different stuff that goes into yards thrown, you know. It's not just, if you know what I mean.
I guess it's a fair point, but still, I go with yards over completion percentage because I think completion percentage is a useless stat.
Yeah, and it's really just depend on the person. I mean, some people go by that. Some people go, which I don't know why you fully go by that. But some people go by touchdown to interception ratio, which, you can't really go by that. You can't, to a certain extent, you can, but I don't really. I only go by that to. I'm not going to go by that to compare a back injury to a non-back injury, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that's completely fair. All right, let's get to it. Teams we're rooting for this year. So, three teams outside of the team of your own that everyone's rooting for. Not everyone, but you personally are really excited to watch this year. Who's it going to be for you?
I'm going to go ahead and give three for me personally, and this isn't really just because everybody else is. I don't know if everybody else is or not. One, I'm going to go with the Rams. I've been rooting for the Rams ever since Fisher's been gone. Thank goodness that finally happened. My second team's the Raiders. I'm rooting for John Gruden in Oakland. I really am. And the third team, oh my gosh, that one's hard. Why don't you go ahead and give your two, and I'll come up with my third one real quick while you're doing that.
All right, so my three would be for actually your team, the Atlanta Falcons. I am so excited to see the Atlanta Falcons this year. I think they have the best roster in the NFC. I think their roster is better than the Rams just because it's got more depth. I think that they should be considered a Super Bowl favorite, and I think that people are sleeping on them. I really, really like the Falcons. So that would be my number one team. The second team is the Detroit Lions, simply because I believe their offense can be one of the best in the league, and Matthew Stafford could potentially win the MVP. They've got incredible wide receivers in Marvin Jones, Kenny Galladay, Golden Tate, and then they got rid of their awful tight end, Eric Ebron. You improve your offensive line through the draft by adding Frank Ragnow, And you also go ahead and you find yourself two great running backs in LeGarrette Blount and Kerryon Johnson. And suddenly, if that team has a running game to complement Matthew Stafford, like, this could be a team that I realize they don't have a pass rush, but the secondary is good, and the linebacking core is a really interesting proposition to me. I think there are a lot of guys there that could break out. But I'm just going to – for me, it has to be the Lions just because of how exciting they are on offense. And then my third team is the Los Angeles Chargers. And listen, I've come really hard down the other way on the Chargers in the last few weeks for some reason. On one of my predictions before I changed it, I actually had them missing the playoffs. I just don't know, but like they need to win, and I can't in good conscience root against a team that is so cursed and just really screwed constantly. I just can't do it, you know? So
yeah.
I'm taking the Chargers.
Well, speaking of cursed teams, or maybe not cursed or whatever, my third team's the Cleveland Browns. I know I've been critical of them, but that doesn't mean I don't root for them because I think they have potential, especially on the off. Well, I think really on the offensive and defensive side. I saw that defense stop the Philadelphia Eagles to 0 points the other night. I think they got great potential, and they have the potential to make the playoffs. Doesn't mean I'm gonna predict it, but I think I'm rooting for them to make the playoffs. I really am. That franchise and those fans deserve for finally. When you're the Cleveland Browns to make the playoffs, and I think this is a good chance in a weak AFC.
Yeah, I'm definitely rooting for the Browns too. I just left them off my list just because I'm rooting more for those other teams. All right, to finish off the episode here, we're going to go a little bit shorter because we'll have two longer episodes this week. I want to go through kind of some awards picks for you and some teams in the playoffs. Let's start with awards. I'll throw out an award. You throw out a player. MVP?
I'm going to go Aaron Rodgers. I know it's kind of obvious, but I think he's going to be the best quarterback this year again. So I'm going to have to go Aaron Rodgers.
Offensive player of the year.
That's tough. I'm gonna go Antonio Brown. Actually, no. I'm gonna go Le'Veon Bell.
All right. Defensive player of the year.
Oh well. Oh, that's... If he plays, I'm gonna go Khalil Mack. I think he's gonna be the most dominant defensive end.
But do you think he'll play?
I think he'll play. I think he'll end up playing. That's why I'm saying that. I haven't heard much news about him, but I think he'll end up playing. So, yeah, that's why I would say, yeah. That's really what I'm going to base off of. If he plays, I think he wins it.
All right. Okay. Finally. Coach of the Year.
Ooh, Coach of the Year. Oh, wow.
That's tough. Not finally. Actually, one more. But
I'm going to go Kyle Shanahan.
Kyle Shanahan. Mm. And then the Offensive Rookie and the Defensive Rookie of the Year.
Wow. Offensive Rookie. Sagas. I'm going to go Saquon Barkley for Offensive Player of the Year. And Defensive Player of the Year for Rookie. That's harder because I can't, right off the top of my head, I can't remember names that well. Let me think for a second. You going to give your awards or are you going to wait?
I'm going to wait till Sunday's show. But if you don't have a
Ralph.
Defensive Rookie of the Year. That's fine.
Right off the top of my head, I don't.
All right. So, let's go through. I want to know your playoff teams, and then kind of we'll go conference by conference, have a games, how you see the games playing out. Let's first start. Let's do it this way. Give me your 1 and 2, and then your wild card matchups, and then go from wild card to division to conference, and then we'll do that for each conference. Which conference do you want to start with?
Let's start with the NFC.
Okay, NFC.
So how do we want to do this again? Or how do you want to do it real quick?
So you'll give us your 1 and 2 seeds, and then your wild card games. And as you tell us the wild card games, pick the wild card game, then move on to the divisional game, then the conference game, and then who you have. Yeah. Got it?
Yep. For the 1 and 2, I have the Vikings at the 1, the Falcons at the 2. And for the wild card games, I have Rams and Saints. Rams and Saints in one game, and I think the Rams win that game. And then I have Giants and Packers in another, and I think the Packers win that game. So it would be Packers winning one, and then the Rams winning the other one.
So the Packers would be the 5 seed then?
Yes.
So that means, just through math, so the Packers go play the 1 seed and then the Rams go play the 2.
Yes.
So what does that look like divisional weekend?
So I would say the Vikings beat the Packers, and then the Rams beat the Falcons.
All right. So Vikings, Rams. Who's going to the Super Bowl from the NFC?
Oh, my gosh. Rams. I'm going to take Rams.
All right. Okay, now you said I'd be surprised with the AFC.
You will.
So break down kind of the AFC, the 1 and the 2, kind of like we did.
Oh, man.
But on the wild card games, what? The ones where you think I'm surprised, maybe kind of explain yourself.
I'm pausing.
Okay.
All right. The number 1 seed, I have the the New England Patriots. I know I said earlier I think they could lose, or I agree with you. I know they could lose 9-7 games, but I don't think they will. I think they're closer to an 11-win team. At the 2, I have the Steelers. I think they're about 10-win team. All right, and then we'll go to the. We'll go ahead and go to the wild card now. At the 5, I have. Well, do we want to just let me list 1 through 6? Okay. Yeah.
Well. Who are the three and six?
For that first wild card game, I have the Texans at the 3 seed, and then the Chargers at the 6 seed. and then the 4, and then the second wild card game, I have the Broncos and the Jaguars.
Wow, interesting. So
because I don't trust any of the other three teams in that division. That's really more what it's about. And I don't think the Chargers are gonna. I just had trust the Chargers kind of, but I think they're gonna be like a 9-win team. I see the Broncos winning 10 games, and I don't think any of the other teams in that division will win 10 games besides the Broncos. It was hard. It was hard to say the Broncos, but I think in the end, I think it was the right choice.
Why did you choose the Jacksonville Jaguars to be in the playoffs? Because it just doesn't seem like a pick you usually make. You hate
because
teams that don't have solid quarterback positions.
Yeah, but their defense,
the Jaguars,
so good.
May have the least solid. And yeah, I don't know. I didn't think you
really
would trust that
defense
that
so much.
Considering
so much that I think they'll be able to make up for what Blake Bortles will mess up at some point in time. Maybe if it's down the stretch, and I think they can win enough games to get that 5 seed. And maybe I'm wrong about that. Maybe I could switch up the Chargers and Jaguars, make the Jaguars the 5. But it's close. And I would say, as far as who wins that wild card matchup or the
wild card matchups, I say the Texans win one, and then the Jaguars win one. No, the Broncos win one. Because the Jaguars, like you said, like Bortles, that's really why I can't pick them to win a game in the playoffs.
All right.
That would be
okay. So Patriots, who's the divisional round matchup?
Texans in one game, and I would say the Patriots win that game, and then the Steelers and the Broncos in another game, and I'll take the Steelers in that one, and the Patriots make it to the Super Bowl.
Oh, all right, yeah, so Patriots, Rams.
Rams. I'll take the Rams because I don't trust the Patriots offense besides Tom Brady. That I don't know what they're going to have come January and February. And I'll just that's really what I'm basing off of. And the decrease or the not downsize, but the loss of offensive line help, I think that's going to hurt them. And I think the Rams win it based off the, they're going to have, I think the Rams will have a top defense, and that makes the difference for me.
Shocker and kind of an early spoiler. I don't have the New England Patriots
and enough
in the Super Bowl. Well, I guess.
Just because I don't trust any of the
why
other.
Why do you have them in the Super Bowl? I feel like the teams you put them up against. I feel like the teams you put them up against have, like, the Texans almost beat them last year in Foxborough, and then the Steelers almost beat them every year and might have the best roster that they have in a while.
Talent-wise, the Patriots are probably the 4 seed. Not just talent-wise. Talent-wise, and considering a little bit of what we've seen before, I think the Patriots are 4 seed, but I believe that some of these teams will find ways to lose against the Patriots. Like they do every season. That's really what I'm basing that off of.
All right. Well, that's definitely an interesting take, and the opposite of a take I will have on our next show, because our next show will be the AFC West preview, and that will come out on Monday, and then Wednesday we will have our overall kind of season preview where I will give my picks for all these kind of playoff teams. Chris, I want to ask you now, just because we're a week away from football.
Yes.
The Atlanta Falcons are your team playing in Philly.
I'm excited to see where
what are you excited
the,
to watch in that
offense.
Game?
Because the offense has been kind of shaky in this preseason. I want to see after we watch full game, see how the offense performs, and I'm excited to see Calvin Ridley in the regular season. That's actually probably the most player I'm most excited to watch on the Falcons. Calvin Ridley in the regular season. It's going to be interesting and fun.
All right.
Philadelphia Eagles are two.
Who wins that game?
Right now they're injured between injuries and everything else. I don't think they're going to – they just don't – right now they don't have the talent, I don't think, to beat the Falcons right now. Offensively, defensively, they're going to be great on the Falcons. They're going to do good things in that game, but I just don't think it's going to be enough. I think the Falcons' offense will have enough firepower to win that game barely. They'll win probably maybe by a touchdown.
All right, man. Well, thank you very much for joining us on.
Of course, yeah, it was very exciting, and
of the
I can't wait to do it again sometime
fun.
Very soon.
Everyone should go check out your podcast, the Truth in All podcast. You just did an SEC preview. Will you be doing like a big overall NFL preview? Do you think?
I still got to do the ACC tomorrow. I won't put it out of the ordinary. We'll see. I don't know. I really don't know. Oh yeah.
But you will have a podcast out before Saturday, correct?
We'll talk about all the games on and stuff like that.
All right.
And then our awesome. Are you gonna do recaps?
How I want to do them, but I do want to do them. I figure I'll kind of save the NFL stuff when I come on here, and I'll just stick to college football and mine for the most part. Not saying we won't to talk about some NFL stuff, but I figure I'll be coming on here quite a bit during the regular season, so we'll kind of save the college football stuff for the Truth Now podcast.
All right. Awesome, man. Well, we will see you next time. Thanks for listening, guys. We will see you on Monday. Peace out. Follow us on Twitter at EndZonePod. If you have any suggestions, questions, or you just want a shout out on the pod, send an email to endzonepod@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. See you next time.